This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to this Joy 94.9 podcast.
We want to hear from you.
It's time for our listener survey. So head to the Joy website and let us know what you love about the station and your presenters.
Maybe you'd like to share your thoughts on Joy's program production team, the volunteers behind Joy Podcasts.
The results of this survey will assist us in continuing to be the best possible station we can be.
Head to joy.org.au and have your say. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
Yes, you're an urban dreaming.
With Sarumi and Miscellaneous, it's time for dreaming.
What kind of dreaming?
Urban dreaming.
Finding your voice, finding your spirit.
No matter where you are, no matter where you go. Joy, 94.9.
Welcome to Urban Dreaming with Sir Rummy and gorgeous co-host Miscellaneous. You're on Joy 94.9. Before we begin, we would like to acknowledge and pay respect to the sovereign people of the past, present and future generations of the Kulin Nations in which we work, live and broadcast, including a special shout out to all of our brother boys and sister girls out of the LGBTI community.
Oh, good evening, everyone. How are we? And, oh my God, we've got such a fabulous show today on Urban Dreaming. I should say tonight, actually. Where am I? So Rummy is, as we speak, away filming in the bush somewhere on a top secret assignment. But I'm so thrilled to be joined in the studio tonight by our very special guest, Ian Michaels, who is a incredible playwright, a performer, and, you know, a great advocate for our community, not only for the LGBTI community, but for the Blackfella community as well. And we also have in the studio Liam Clark, who is our guest panelist tonight. How are you, Liam?
I'm doing very well. How are you, Miscellaneous?
Yeah, I've been run off my stilettos all week. I've, like, my hair is saturated from this rain. It's pelting down. But, you know, it's good. I'm loving it. I'm very much looking forward to it warming up, though.
Oh, I can't wait.
I've literally gotten to the point where I'm over it now. I'm like, I'm ready for it to be warm. But the good thing is the sun's changing. I realized in my apartment the sun is coming in on a different angle, and this weekend is the start of daylight savings, which makes me very happy. Very
glorious.
Happy. And so, as I mentioned, we have in the studios, we're so fortunate to have Ian Michael. How are you?
I'm doing really good. How are you?
Now, he's been run off his stilettos as well, everyone, because he's been doing lots of radio interviews today. You've been very busy. What have you been up to?
Well, I've just been promoting. It's my day off today from the Fringe, so today's media day. So I've been doing radio interviews all day for my show Heart that's at the Melbourne Fringe at the moment.
Yeah, and we'll be talking much more about that and getting into details about that show. But it is an award-winning show currently playing as a part of the Melbourne Fringe Festival at the La Mama Courthouse. Yeah. So, and sharing that theatre with Muriel with her show Black Cat. And so, you know, that's an incredible double bill, both of them to standing ovations. But yeah, we're very excited to have Ian in the studio. So we might go to a song and come back and talk more to Ian after this.
Joy 94.9 is on air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But sometimes you can't always be with us when you want to. Here's the solution. Here's the solution. Listen to your favourite Joy 94.9 show anytime with our Joy podcast service. Our team of over 30 volunteers pick out the best bits from around 60 programs that Joy airs each week, made available to you for free download. To find a podcast of your favourite Joy show, search for us in the Featured Providers section within the iTunes Store, or find them on the Joy website, joy.org.au. Joy Podcasts. Any show, any show, anytime, joy.org.au.
Now, you're on Joy 94.9 on Urban Dreaming with Sarumi, who's not here at the moment, and Miscellaneous. And in the studio, we have Ian Michael, and that was Too Black, Too Strong, AB Original. And I apologise now for a bit of the swearing in that. Briggs likes a bit of the F-bomb, doesn't he? I would just like to do a shout-out to, we got a little text. This is our first ever text, so yay. Thank you. You didn't put your name, though, but I'm assuming it's someone that knows us because it says Bujus. So let us know. Text us back in and let us know who it is because we're very excited to have our first ever text. And if you would like to text in, it's text in to 0427 Joy, not Jai, Joy 94.9, 0427 Joy 94.9. 4.9 or 0427 569 949, and then which is another text saying guess.
Ooh.
Oh, we're playing games tonight on Urban Dreaming. Saucy. I like this. Well, give us another clue out there.
Yeah, send us a picture.
Oh, so Ian, you've been very busy. You know, so great that your show Heart is in the Melbourne Fringe Festival. You've won so many awards with this show and you've toured it to so many places. Tell us a little bit about, first of all, just tell us a little bit about where you're from, because I know that you're a Noongar from Perth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what brought you to Melbourne and, you know, what the journey of you getting into the performing arts and becoming an actor?
Yeah, I'm a Noongar fella from Woolman region, so that's kind of the southwest of WA, so kind of near Bunbury and Collie, so about 2.5 hours south.
Yeah.
And I
grew up on the way to Esperance.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Nearly. A quarter of the way to Esperance.
Right.
Probably. And so yeah, I grew up in a really small town most of my life, a town of about 7,000 people called Collie, and you know, there wasn't any arts or anything like that. But
what did you do there?
I played football in high school.
Like AFL?
AFL football.
Oh, my God.
So that was a bit of a confusing time. but, you know, I just did because that's what everybody else did.
Did, of course. It's like Darwin.
Yeah. But I was always really interested in storytelling and just loved films and loved movies and loved reading books. And as a kid, had a really huge imagination.
Yeah.
And then, you know, left high school and then went to uni and wanted to study journalism. And then Arnie Lynette Narkel, who was working at the university that I was at, she was like, what are you doing here? You obviously don't want to do what you do in journalism, so why don't you go to this course called Aboriginal Theatre at WAPA? And I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, can you, what is that? You know, like, what is acting? Can you, is that a job? Can you do that? And sure enough, I just applied and got in, and yeah, I guess that was in 2008, and I've been living in Melbourne for about 6 years now. And
wow.
And
is that the same course that, like, Shari and...
Yeah.
Well, you know that, like, I did the original...
Really?
Yeah, with Michael Leslie.
Wow.
I'm not going to say what year it was because that'll give my age away. But, I did the original Aboriginal performing... back then, it was Aboriginal musical theatre course.
Is that in Broome?
No, it was at WAPA.
At WAPA?
Yeah, so we were the first time it was at WAPA. And, it was, you know, that really started my career. And it's so great that there's been so many other, you know, Indigenous performers that have gone there.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned, Shari.
Shari, Sharina, Main.
Yes.
Suri was there as well.
Yeah.
So many of us.
So many,
you know,
yeah.
Just kind of, and all of us opened the pathway for us to do other things and, I guess, opened the world of performing arts.
Absolutely.
And it's where I really fell in love with theatre and just acting and getting lost in stories.
Yeah, and so tell me about when you were living back in your hometown. Like, why did you choose to go, you know, because a lot of us that grow up in those small towns, there's a lot of paths that we can go down, you know. A lot of people have kids or, you know, get settled down. But what was it that made you kind of go and study and, you know, get out of and kind of go on to bigger things?
I guess I always knew that I was never really going to go down any of those paths.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really lucky to come from a really strong family where my parents always wanted us to have the best.
Yeah.
And not just the best in terms of, like, the best shoes or the best clothes, but just the best in life. Mm. And it would always kind of push us. And my dad would always say to us, you know, whatever you put in, you'll get out. So if you work hard, things will come to you. And so even now, every time I speak to him, he's like, I'm so proud of you. Just keep working harder. You know, so I always had that, like, great support from my family. And, yeah, I guess I just thought there were no ends to what I could do. I always believed I could do whatever I wanted, so.
And what brought you to Melbourne?
Just what? Opportunity.
Yeah.
I knew there was a lot of arts happening here.
Did you know anyone here?
Nobody. I moved here and...
And so how was that? Like
terrifying.
Yeah.
I moved here and didn't know a soul and didn't even know how to get on a tram or how they worked.
And like,
or...
where did you move? Like,
I lived in Reservoir.
Oh, yes.
For a few months when I first lived here.
I say so Reservoir cheap. And people are like, no, it's Reservoir. Like, you know.
Yeah.
And who did you live there with? Like, what?
But
I'm so fascinated by people making yeah. that move. I'm just like, so it's such a big, brave move. And, yeah. You know.
I moved here, actually, like a friend of mine from high school had moved here maybe 4 or 5 years before I did.
Right.
But, you know, we... We're really good friends in high school, but kind of over time, you know, we were living in different states, essentially. So it was kind of like moving kind of with somebody I hadn't known for a long time.
Yeah.
And you know, she was working and had her own life. And so I kind of was having my own life as well. And so I'd, you know, walk around by myself for hours a day and go see movies by myself. And I just fell in love with the art scene here. And I would go and see like 5 or 6 plays a week just because I wanted to be so immersed in it.
Yeah.
And just loved that the fact that you could see everything or something all the time. I really fell in love with the city really fast.
Yeah, it's a bit, it's a beautiful city. I must admit that I lived here for a stint and then moved away and had planned to not come back to Melbourne. And it was because of my job with Obituary that I, you know, decided to come back. And, you know, I really am really enjoying it, you know. And I just think that this city... You know, it's so supportive of the arts.
Yeah.
There's so much happening, particularly compared to somewhere like Sydney, where all of these lockout laws and, you know, it's becoming a really nanny state and it's hard to, you know, have fun. I think there's much more risk happening in Melbourne and there's much more, you know, adventures. And as I mentioned earlier, like, you know, I think the weather is starting to get a bit grinding.
Yes.
But, you know, besides that, you know, I lived in London for 3 years, so... Now that I live here, I don't complain anymore about the weather in London. But, you know, I always really admire people that have, you know, particularly, you know, coming from a small place and really making that move. And do you have a big community here now of people that you, you know, hang around? And, yeah, tell us a little bit about...
It wasn't too difficult for me to find the community here, you know.
Like, in community, what do you talk about in terms of blackfellas?
Blackfellas, blackfellas, and especially theatre, theatre community as well.
Yeah.
And within that, specifically the black theatre community.
Yeah.
Like my first job in Melbourne was with Obituary.
Yeah.
And that happened so randomly one day. I went and saw a show. Was
that Corinthic?
No, it was just a. They did Black Writers Live a few years ago.
Oh, yes. So which is where Katie Beckett's.
Yeah.
You know, Which Way Home came from. And, you know, Blood.
Flashbacks and.
Yes.
All of those great plays. And I went and saw a play at La Mama, actually. The first play I ever saw when I moved to Melbourne was at La Mama. And I sat next to a lady called Mari Lowry.
Yes.
And she has a lot to do with the Obituary.
Yeah.
And we just got chatting one day and she was like, what do you do? And I was like, oh, I've just moved here from Perth and I'm an actor and I'm, you know, I don't really know my way around. And she's like, well, I work at Obituary at the moment. We're doing these writers' labs. You know, we're looking for some actors. Would you want to do it? And I was like, oh, yeah, of course.
Wow.
And then through that, met Rachel and met Jacob and Muriel and Nikki Ashby and Tammy Anderson and Pauline Wyman and Uncle Jack.
All of them.
You know, and then just they just welcomed me with open arms and, you know, it's never...
Gosh, what year was that? Like
2011 or 10?
Wow.
Yeah.
How amazing.
And then just those relationships I've had with those people have just... have come into really beautiful friendships and working relationships. So
absolutely. So we're going to go to another song now. This is one of your selections, which is, I think, Jessica Malboy.
Yeah.
Tell us why you picked this song.
I don't know. I think I really love Jess. I think she's such a deadly artist, and I think she's just she does everything, and she does it so well.
Yeah.
And I met her a year ago. I was working on something that she was working at. And she just, her and I just like clicked and we just hung out like all day, every day. And it was just lovely and just such a beautiful person. And this song actually just came up randomly this morning when I was getting ready to go to work or whatever.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just think she's just such a great person and just such a great artist. And she's doing amazing things.
Absolutely. You know? Oh, well, let's take a listen. So this is Jessica Malboy and you're listening to Urban Dreaming, Joy 94.9.
Community radio is all about breaking down stereotypes. Joy 94.9 would love to hear from women who can confidently work with all things engineering and IT. For more info, visit joy.org.au.
You're on Joy 94.9 Urban Dreaming, and you're with Miscellaneous and Ian Michaels in the studio, and our very special guest panelist, Liam Clark.
Sup?
How are you going? We were talking about this before, but Liam actually is, and he probably will tell you himself as well. He is a Mr. Rubber.
Yes,
2016.
Melbourne Rubber Man 2016.
Melbourne Rubber Man.
Yes.
So people out there are probably thinking, what does that mean?
It means
probably a lot of people know, but there might be some people that don't know.
So essentially, I won a pageant for Guys Into Rubber, which is hosted at the Laird back in July. So now I am a quasi-celebrity in a very, very specific subset of the gay community.
Yeah, so rubber is a fetish wear for those of you who might not know. And, basically it's wearing very tight rubbery clothing.
Yes, although not all of my rubber is super tight. I've got some loose rubber.
Do you?
I have a rubber tracksuit, which is very...
Oh, where do you buy this stuff from?
Mostly the internet. I get a lot of it from Eagle Leather here in Melbourne, though.
Yes.
But I find that being of... I'm quite lanky.
Yeah.
So it's hard to find stuff in my size here because I'm very tall and very thin. And it all tends to be built for people who are a bit more muscular than I am.
Right. And so when you order it online, find that's a better fit?
Yeah, there's a couple of places now that I've ordered from quite a bit. So they've got my measurements.
Yeah, great. So you kind of get to know who to go to. And is that from Europe?
There's a place in Birmingham that makes really good stuff. A friend of mine in Russia makes really good stuff. And also a place in China.
Nice. So check it out. If you don't know, just Google,
Yes, I have a Facebook page.
Facebook.
If you Facebook Liam Clark Melbourne Rubberman 2016,
Is that like a fan page?
It is a fan page.
Is it?
Yes, it's a public figure.
Oh, you're a public... I'll have to have a look at it, actually.
Apparently I am, with just under 300 people following me.
I'll have to Facebook stalk you and have a look at Liam, Mr. Rubber. And so, coming, all things rubber. As I said, we have Ian Michael in the studio. And mind you, saying that, Ian, we've worked out we've cracked the black code of who is listening to us tonight and texting in. And it's, Brian, thank you so much. You are our first, I'm so proud you're our first ever texter. Is texter the right word? How do you say? Because texter is what you write with.
Yeah.
You're our first ever text person.
SMS.
Yes, SMS person. So thank you, Brian. Brian from, I don't know where you live now, but I'm just going to say Brian from the suburbs. Because that'll be, he's going to love that. But no, Brian has been fantastic because he's actually been the one who's been creating our podcast for us. So make sure you check out our podcast. We post them on our Urban Dreaming Facebook page. So have a look at that and you can listen to it at any time. And there's also a Joy app that you can go to. And you can also check us out online, Joy 94.9, and has our program. So if you're not up right now like us, you can go and check it out. So, as I mentioned before, Ian, you have written a play called Heart, which has had a very successful season, not only here in Australia, but also internationally as well. So tell us a little bit about that, about the journey of it and, how did you come to write it? And, did you ever think that you would be where you are now with it? Like, where did the idea for it come from?
I think about maybe 2.5 years ago, I started thinking about writing plays. I wanted to start making work for myself because I started getting a bit frustrated with the industry and, was thinking a lot about the stories that I wanted to tell. I felt really needed to be very truthful stories and stories that reflected our communities and our families, not just the dark parts of our communities, but also like the light and the humorous and the deadly parts. So I was going to write a story kind of based on a family and then started thinking a lot about family and identity and then started thinking about the Stolen Generations and then was going to write a play about the Stolen Generations. And then throughout all that research to write that play, I'd come across a website that had about 70 testimonials from people from the Stolen Generation called the Stolen Generations Testimonies Foundation. And over a period of 6 months, I'd read those 70 testimonials from over and over and over again all day, every day. And then quickly realized that I could never imagine those experiences. I could never just, in my own mind, create them. And so quickly realized that they needed to be verbatim. And so then we can start constructing text and picking parts out of those testimonials to construct this kind of, I guess, chronological narrative of people's experiences of the Stolen Generation.
And where did you find that original text from? Like, where were those testimonials?
That Stolen Generations Testimonies Foundation. It's a website.
Wow.
Yeah.
And who was a part of the team to help you create?
Yeah. So the company called She Said Theatre, I've worked with them in the past, and they're a theatre company based in Melbourne, and they focus on giving voices and giving spaces to people who aren't on the main stage and don't really get a chance to tell their stories. So minorities and women and refugees and especially blackfellas, and they've been the most amazing support of Hart and me. And so I worked with Sienna Van Helton, who's the other co-writer, and her and I worked every week. We would get together and we'd just be like, oh, this resonated with me and I found these images within this testimonial. And then we just started constructing them and kind of putting them in within this kind of, I guess, through line of what we wanted to tell, I guess, the parts we wanted to tell. And then we wanted to make sure that we got permission to tell the stories. Yep. And so then it was about contacting the people. And then that proved really difficult.
Well, I can imagine.
You know, because these testimonials were done about 5 or 6 years ago. And, of course, people change their phone numbers a lot and aren't living where they're living anymore and things like that.
And so how did you go about that? Like,
it was difficult. It was nearly like we were never going to do
that. How long did that take you?
We didn't have a lot of time because by the time we'd constructed the text and then we were going to rehearsals was a few weeks.
Yeah.
And so it was a real challenge to find them all together. And it was really interesting. The people that finally got in contact with were all Noongar people.
Wow.
And then so realised very, very quickly that we should tell Noongar stories.
Yeah.
And I should tell the stories from my country and my people.
Yeah.
And now I feel a really great responsibility to tell those Noongar stories.
Yeah.
Through that, we just then went into rehearsal, and each rehearsal would come in with a new piece of text, and my director Penny Harpen works in long form improvisation.
Yeah.
So we would do a 3 or 4 hour improv every single day.
Wow.
Which would involve me just doing parts of the text and seeing what I could do with the props or the set. And then she would write notes down and we'd just workshop it.
Yeah. And did you have funding to do this or what?
No, and I think independent theatre.
Yeah, which is so incredible because I think nowadays there's a lot of people out there that are so reliant on, you know, arts funding. Mm-hmm. And as we know, you know, we've had a lot of cuts to funding and, you know, it's becoming more and more difficult to be able to do that. And it's so admirable that, you know, independent artists like yourself are able to create, you know, quality theatre. Mm. Just out of the passion of it,
yeah,
you
well,
know?
Yeah, that's the thing. We can't just
wait.
We can't wait and yeah. We can't just not make work or tell stories because we don't have the money to.
Yeah.
You know, I owe a lot to She Said, not just in thanks, but in financially.
Yeah.
You know, and they've been really great. You know, we did lots of crowdfunding and things like that. And then got a bit of private philanthropy and stuff like that. But, you know, it is a struggle. You know, yeah. I mean, this show I've been working on now for over a year and a half. And
yeah.
You know, I don't get paid to do it. And I just do it because these stories need to be told. Yeah.
And who is produced? Are you acting as a producer as well? Or
I don't produce the show. She Said produce the show, but everything that happens with Hart goes through me first.
Yeah.
So there's nothing that happens within the tour or the production or without me saying yes.
And where does the name come from?
Hart.
And it's spelt H-A-R-T. So
when we were doing these testimonials and then constructing the text, then I wanted to interview somebody personally. And so I interviewed this man. He remains anonymous through the show. So we called him Hart. Mm. And when I interviewed him, we were talking a lot about what had happened to him as a young man and being taken away and kind of losing his family and losing his identity. And something that really hit me when I was kind of wanting to name the show, he said, when I was 18, I went to go get a driver's license. And in the 80s, Aboriginal people still didn't have birth certificates. And so he went to the driver's license place and they said, you don't exist. There's nobody of that name that exists in Australia. And so when he said that to me, that just immediately hit me that I was like, it's everything that we want to say about the show. It's this loss of identity, somebody's struggle to find themselves, their culture, their loss of family, it's everything. And so, yeah, it's really strange. I didn't think of another name for the show.
Yeah.
That kind of just summed it up, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's kind of, you know, there's 4 people's stories in the show and, he's a big part of that,
And has he seen it?
Mm. All the men came to put when we're in Perth, came to opening night.
And how was that?
Oh, it's terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
In Melbourne, when we premiered it at Melbourne last year, we flew Uncle Sam over. He's one of the men in the play.
Yeah.
And he came over, just him. And he sat, we had this tiny little room that had 20 seats.
Yeah.
And he sat directly in the front row, right in the middle. Because that's what black fellas do. They always want to sit straight in the middle,
yeah,
get the best seats. And he just sat there and I looked at him the whole time and he looked at me and he just had tears the whole time. And then as soon as it finished, he was the first person to stand up and clap. And same in Perth, all the men stood up. And really interesting in theatre, with black fellas, they don't really see the wall.
Yeah.
And so as soon as the show finished, they all got out of their seats and came up on the stage. Oh, and, you know,
how amazing.
And same in Adelaide, we had the first two full front rows were old aunties from the, and they'd all been from the Stolen Generation.
Yeah.
And then throughout the show, they just started talking to me.
Yeah.
Really loudly.
Yeah.
And because they didn't think that it was a show.
Fourth wall.
There's
no fourth wall.
And with Hart and especially Verbatim, there's no fourth wall anyway.
Yeah.
They would start talking to me about what happened to them and reminding me. And if I didn't talk to them or gesture to them, they would make sure that I heard that.
Yeah.
They would, Bub.
Yeah.
You know, that happened the whole entire show. And so it was this beautiful thing. It's like we're having this conversation.
It's like real theatre, isn't it? Yeah, you know, exactly. Where there is that immediate connection with the audience.
And we're literally just sharing stories on stage in front of a whole room of people.
And I think like this work, and I'm so excited because I actually haven't seen it, and I'm coming this Wednesday, and as we said, it's currently on at the Melbourne Fringe Festival. So if you are out there and you want to go and see it, it's happening from Wednesday till Saturday.
Sunday.
Yeah. So make sure you get out there. And are you performing on the public holiday?
Yes.
No risk. And the grand final on the Saturday.
Yes.
Yes. Good boy. And so, yeah, make sure you go and see it. I'm so excited because I've heard so much about it. But what is really great about it is there's not a lot of, from what I've known, there's not a lot of one person shows that are from a male and that speak, you know, particularly like you said, that story about those men that came and watched it. And, you know, I don't feel that there's a lot of stories out there that are written for men, you know, and particularly relating that closely to them. And, you know, I think that that's a really beautiful thing out there. And and you've also been to New Zealand
twice. Yeah.
Look out. And how was that received in New Zealand?
Really warmly. It was the Maori community welcomed us incredibly. They, you know, they gave traditional welcomes to us, mihi whakatau's they're called, and there were ceremonies that went for like 2 or 3 hours, and they spoke to us in full language and everything like that, and the show was just received so warmly. We got great reviews, and the audience was so wonderful, and it was really great to go to a country, you know, it's not that far away, but still they were able to understand everything that we're going through right now. And you know, they're a little bit more progressive than us, they still have their issues and their problems that are going on. And so they really got it and were really warm to it and were just so supportive. It was, it's been, actually every season of Heart's been incredible. So I've been really lucky.
Oh, how great. And speaking of international First Nation mob, I met a throat singer from an Inuit throat singer who was here for APAM, which is the Australian Performing Arts Market. And she's given me her CD, which is Ice Lines and Seal Skin. And her name is Kathleen Merritt. And right now we're going to take a listen to one of her songs, which is called Anuri. And you're listening to Urban Dreaming on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is on air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But sometimes you can't always be with us when you want to. Here's the solution. Here's the solution. Listen to your favourite Joy 94.9 show anytime with our Joy podcast service. Our team of over 30 volunteers pick out the best bits from around 60 programs that Joy airs each week, made available to you for free download. To find a podcast of your favourite Joy show, search for us in the featured providers section within the iTunes store, or find them on the Joy website, joy.org.au. Joy Podcasts. Any show, anytime, joy.org.au.
You're on Urban Dreaming, Joy 94.9, in the studios with Miscellaneous and special guest artist Ian Michael. And we've been talking about his incredible work, one-man show called Heart, which is currently playing at La Mama Courthouse as a part of the Melbourne Fringe Festival. So make sure if you're in Melbourne to check that out. It's a story about the stolen generation, and particularly about Blackfella stories and, you know, our history and our culture. And really, you know, an important work to be seen by not only Indigenous but non-Indigenous people in this country. So, yeah, I highly recommend it. I'm going on Wednesday, and I'm very excited about seeing that. And we spoke about briefly as well that it's going to be coming up in the future. So if people are out there and want to see it, where else might they get a chance to see it? Well, if you're allowed to say.
Oh, I'll say a little bit.
Yeah.
next year, we'll be doing some regional touring around Victoria.
Yep.
And then we'll do some capital cities and some festivals next year as well. And then the year after that and the year after that, hopefully as well, we'll keep touring it around Australia regionally and capital cities and internationally too, hopefully.
Yeah, so, it's one of those things. It's like Tammy Anderson, who you know, I don't want to play house her show. And, you know, she did that for 20 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's one of those things that, and I think you were saying how exhausting it is.
Yeah.
You know, well, it's only you on the stage. Mm. And I think a lot of people don't realize as well as even the media, like you've actually been doing media all day today. Mm. And when you are doing a one person show, you know, it's, you have to do all of it. So you have to do all the media, you have to do, you know, plus the show.
Yeah. It's, you know, but it's, it feels good.
Yeah.
It's like a great exhaustion.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's, I get
rewarding.
It is. I feel so, I guess lucky is not the word, but I feel really honoured to be able to be like the vessel for these stories every night. I mean, I get to, I guess, play for people and really tell their experiences and tell the most truthful parts of these policies that were put on them and their experiences and their lives and them now and me now. And
everything. And what kind of feedback have you been getting after the shows and, you know?
It's all been really positive, and a lot of people are always like, it's very important work.
Yes.
But also people are always very, always say that it's very, I guess it is actually a really beautiful piece of theatre. I'm really happy with it.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic piece of theatre, and I've got such a great team, and people are always walk out of it and are always like, I'm so glad that you make that work because there's not enough theatre that's so passionate like that. Or angry.
Yeah.
Or I had somebody say the other night, it's been a long time since I went and saw a piece of theatre that made me feel so passionate when I left or made me feel so angry.
Which is great, which is my belief is I think, you know, if we create theatre, you know, you need to be able to move people in whatever way. So whether it's making them feel, you know, upset or passionate or angry, I think, you know, theatre is transformative. And if you're not moving your audience, then, you know, I don't think we're doing our job.
Yeah. And Hardy is quite dark. I mean, it is verbatim. And so the darkness within these people's lives are there, but it's also very humorous and very light, and people don't expect that.
And how do you go, you know, for people that do shows like this, how do you, you know, get a, you know, release that afterwards? Or how do you, you know, you've done it so many times now. Mm. Is it just something that, you know, you get used to, or how, like, how do you deal with the heaviness of it?
Yeah. Something that I've had to kind of get used to, I think the first season that we did at Melbourne Fringe last year, I was researching and writing and rehearsing and performing all at the same time. And so it was just this heaviness that was on my shoulders. I really felt the weight of these men's stories every night. But over time, I've been able to know where I need to go and how deep I should go and how far I should not. And afterwards, I have a lot of... It's interesting. When I first did it, it was just very tiring all the time and it's quite depressing.
Yes.
I was quite depressed during Fringe last year, which anybody who saw me last year would say didn't look very happy.
Yeah.
But now I've been able to... It feels like I'm telling stories and I feel like I'm an actor just doing a job now, which is really lovely that I'm able to come out of it now and just have a lot of energy. And then an hour later, I feel like I need to pass out. So, I know now how to get in and out of it.
Yeah. Which is such a great lesson, I think, as a performer to be able to learn that. And you said that you've got some writing coming up, so you're going to...
Well, there's lots of plays that I want to write. And it was really interesting halfway through writing Heart last year. I had an idea for another play that I wanted to write, but my director was like, how about
just
this
do one
first?
Let's just get through one.
And so, you know, there's like two or three things that I want to start working on over the next couple of years and start developing really slowly just as time goes on and as hard starts to become less my life.
Yeah.
I'll start to be able to write things
down.
If
it ever does.
Yeah, if it ever does. But I'm really passionate now about, especially verbatim theatre. I would love to go into prisons. I think my next project will be going into prisons and working hopefully with prisoners and getting them just to share their lives and their experiences. Yeah. And I'm really interested in knowing why these people are in there and finding out who they are.
Yeah.
Not just because they're prisoners or they've done something wrong, but they're human beings.
Absolutely.
And why they feel stuck or why they feel like they can't get out of it. Yeah. So there's that, and there's lots of more Noongar stories I want to tell, and there's an adaptation of a novel that I want to do and lots of things.
Oh, well, you're only young, so, you know, big future ahead of you. But what I do now is I call, I'm going to ask you some questions.
Okay.
And so you just...
I'm nervous.
No, don't be nervous. But you just think of like the first thing that comes
into
your head. So I'm going to ask some, you know, ones that, you know, you can have a little think about. And then I'm going to ask some quick questions.
Oh, God.
But so if you could learn to do anything, what would it be?
I'm really starting to learn more of my own language, Noongar language. So if I could learn that fluently, that's something I want to do.
And do you have, because I know Iwadja, where my family are from, like there's apps and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you have...
apps, and I've got a full dictionary my dad gave me. So every day it's kind of
Noongar
dictionary, yeah.
And is there different within the Noongar, is there kind of different dialects?
Yeah, even pronunciations are a little bit different, but they all kind of usually mean the same thing.
Noongar is a big...
Yeah, there's 17 tribes in the Noongar country.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it's big lots over there in WA. if you had to change your first name, what would you change it to?
Oh, my gosh. My dad would kill me because it's his name.
Oh.
You
can say pass if you feel like you... What dream name would you like? You
know? Oh, my God.
What name do you find hot?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I always loved the name Kevin because that was my uncle's name and he passed away when I was really young. So,
yeah.
Probably Kevin.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Which celebrity do you get mistaken for?
Oh, nobody.
Really?
Who would I be mistaken for?
Well, I don't know. When I was getting these questions out, I was like, who would I get? Well, when I used to have... Well, I should give my identity away because I should say I get mistaken for Kylie Minogue or... no, sorry, Beyonce or J-Lo, you know. And if you have a look at Miscellaneous on Facebook, you can see why I get mistaken for J-Lo.
Oh, who would
She's
I get mistaken
hot.
For? Oh... I got mistaken for Maine White once, and he's in the Neighbours. But, you know, that's just because we're black, I think, and young.
Yeah. Oh, well, you're both very attractive, so that's, you
Thanks.
Know. Good old Maney. When you have 30 minutes of free time, how do you pass the time?
Read.
Oh, what I'm do reading you read?
I'm reading this new
like
book.
Like a novel or a...
Yeah, I love reading books. I'm reading, and I love reading plays, but I just got to the point where I've been reading so many plays that I just forget about other things. So I've just started reading books again. I'm reading a book by Alexis Wright at the moment.
Oh, yes.
And it's just blowing me away. I'm like 10 pages in and I'm just
playwright.
Like, it's incredible. It's blowing
called?
My mind.
Oh, have you got it on you?
The Swan.
Oh, he's just running to his bag to... The Swan?
It's called...
She's an incredible...
The
Let's
Swan
have a look.
Book.
Alexis Wright, The Swan Book.
It's blowing my mind. I love it.
And she's a Miles Franklin Award-winning author. So check that out. Alexis Wright, she's an incredible Indigenous playwright. I love this one. What would you name... What would the name be of your autobiography?
Probably Heart.
No, I like that. Good answer. And then quickly, we're just going to do 10 quick questions.
Okay.
So you have to be quick with these, all right?
Yeah.
So your favourite colour?
Blue.
Best memory?
I love just being at home, so being at home.
Favourite TV show? Quick.
Redfern Now.
Oh. Winter, summer, autumn or spring?
Spring.
Vanilla or chocolate?
Chocolate.
Finish this sentence. I want to be...
I want to be a really good actor one day.
Well, I think you are already. Rome or Greece?
Oh, Greece, probably.
UK or USA?
USA.
Will Smith or Denzel Washington?
Denzel.
Treaty or recognize?
Treaty.
Oh, absolutely. Very nice. Don't and speaking of treaty, actually, you've selected a song, so we're going to go to your next selection, which is, ironically enough, Yotha Yindi with Treaty. You're on Urban Dreaming Joy 94.9.
Hi, Jason Gibbs here, Joy 94.9 production manager. Want to learn more about radio or audio editing? We're often looking for people to join our team as program production audio producers, responsible for producing podcasts just like this one. Get involved, meet new people, and learn new skills. Join one of the biggest community radio contributors of podcasts by volunteering for Joy's program production team. All skill levels welcome, no prior knowledge of audio production is required, and best of all, training is free for all Joy members. Keep an eye on the volunteer vacancies page at joy.org.au, and if we're looking for people to join our team, it'll tell you how to get involved right there. The Joy 94.9 program production team, powering Joy podcasts. Any show, any time. Online at joy.org.au.
And that was Yotha Yindi with Treaty on Urban Dreaming Joy 94.9. And we've come to the end of the show. Oh, I know. I'd like to thank our very special guest artist, Ian Michael, for coming in and gracing your presence and talking about your show after your very busy media day today. And thank you for coming to Joy to,
my pleasure.
To chat to us. And as I said, Heart is currently on as a part of the Melbourne Fringe Festival at La Mama Courthouse from this Wednesday until Saturday. So go to the Melbourne Fringe Festival website for tickets. There's still some available, but make sure you get them quick because it will sell out. It's a very popular show. It got a really great review, four stars
in The Age.
In The Age, which is, was that with Cameron?
No, it was somebody else.
Somebody else.
Tim Robbins.
Great, like that's, yeah, so well done on that. And, you know, we wish you all the success for this show and for the other ones that you're going to be creating. I'd also like to thank Liam Clark for stepping in as our panelist this evening.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Liam.
Thank you for having me, guys.
No, I hope to have you back soon. And, yeah, thank you very much. Have a very good night. And we'll see you all very soon. Yawl.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.